Hi, Julian. Thanks for your time. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Joel. Thanks for the opportunity to have a discussion about the Scania Touring and our new hybrid project.
Well, there has been plenty going on, hasn't there? You've been busy little bees. The Touring, it certainly looks like an interesting project. And there, you would say, would be big demand for a vehicle like that in Australia, straight off the boat and ready to go.
It is. The change in legislation from the 16-tonne GVN on two-axle coaches to 18-tonne has created a need for some more luggage capacity within the two-axle coach market. The Scania Touring had been available since 2009 for our overseas cousins who operate 2.55 wide vehicles. So we embarked on the project several years ago to, I guess, bring the Touring into the Scania family in Australia within the legal width. So a fully compliant 2.5 wide right-hand drive vehicle that's now 12.3 metres long, 3.8 metres high, and has 9 cubic metres of luggage space, which is up substantially from our Scania Higer A30.
And a big passenger capacity as well, up to 57 people, so up to 57 seats. So, people nowadays, especially, they seem to want to bring more stuff with them, don't they, when they go on a coach tour or they're travelling interstate. So that 9 square metres, that should be, well received by operators.
Absolutely. And of course, we look at the luggage allowances that the airlines have. So we need to be able to reflect our capacity in the coach market to meet those demands for the travelling public. And with the new Touring, I believe that we've well and truly hit the mark.
And for the uninitiated, we're talking about a vehicle that is basically buy and run. It comes into Australia and it's just you just put your registration on it and put your labels on it and away you go.
Basically, it is. The only additional options is the vehicle can be specified to carry 49, 53 or 57 seats. So with a 49-seat option, we have the capacity for full recliners, obviously a little bit more seat spacing, so more leg room. And when we move up to the 57 seats, they become a fully fixed back unit. There's multiple options for the Australian seat suppliers to provide, product to the Australian coach industry. And at this stage, we are only using Australian seat manufacturers to provide the seating. And then we can, add little options like TVs, DVD players, bull bars and stone guards for, that regional work as well.
Manufactured in China, I know that Scania has done a lot of work to make sure that production plant is up to scratch and is producing a good quality product. Have you been there yourself? What are some of the stories behind getting this bus together and the manufacturing process?
So back in the mid-2000s, Scania embarked on a project with the Higer Corporation in China in Suzhou. We looked at what product we could provide with our Swedish-built chassis. So underpinning the product is always the Scania chassis, the Swedish-built chassis. And it morphed into, a scenario where Scania, with the Scania Touring, actually worked with Higer to set up a completely separate production facility. And that production facility now builds only Scania products. So it is not a joint venture. This is a fully designed vehicle from Scania. And it's built in cooperation with the Higer company. So Higer provides the labour force, but our Scania engineers, our Scania quality control people from Sweden are there to oversee all points of the operation. And it really is fantastic to see. It is an amazingly modern facility with multiple paint booths available so that the volumes that we see here in Australia produced by some of our coach builders in a year, the factories are able to produce that same volume in a month.
Yeah, it's just hard to beat that nowadays, isn't it, when there's the demand there as well. And you mentioned the word modern. I was just going to say it's a very modern-looking coach, isn't it? It's an attractive vehicle.
It is, and I guess, you know, for people who are familiar with the Scania, I guess the Scania look, the Scania brand, moving from our P and G series trucks, even through to our NTG, the new truck generation, you'll see that the Scania Touring really does follow that same design line as our trucks, to keep it within that Scania family of vehicles.
Well, it's also been, aside from the Touring, that, as I said at the top, a busy time with the introduction of the new 10.8-metre school bus. Obviously, no doubt that comes about from simple demand from operators looking for a bus of that size.
It is. We have a lot of, I guess, our regional operators, Joel, who are looking at, you know, restricted access on the country roads for their school bus routes. So what we've managed to do, working with the factory and working with our local bodybuilders in terms of the shorter school bus, is to reduce the rear overhang and also reduce the front overhang to reduce the vehicle length from sort of standard 12.5 metres down to 10.8 metres. And this has meant that our customers who traditionally may have had to look elsewhere for product can stay within the Scania family.
That is definitely the key to success, isn't it? Is to be able to provide the vehicles and the products that the customers want. And if there's been a call for this vehicle, then it should be a big seller for Scania.
It's been terrific. And obviously our local bodybuilders have been extremely supportive, because they've had to redesign and re-engineer the vehicle to suit that length. But absolutely, it means that we can now supply a vehicle from in the school and charter market from 10.8 metres on a two-axle chassis up to 12.5. And of course, when we go into our three-axle luxury coach chassis, we can go from 12.5 metres right out to 14.5 metres, which are the vehicles that, I guess, clients like V-Line and the contractors who are operating the V-Line coaches like to have the 14.5 metres, because they could take 58 passengers with semi-recliner seats and a toilet on board, as well as a wheelchair lift, so that they are compliant with the Disabled Discrimination Act. So DDA has become a huge component of operations for our bus operators now, and we've got fully compliant vehicles for that operation.
Away from the school run and away from the more long-distance focused vehicle, city buses, of course, you've got a huge percentage of the market, especially in New South Wales, Victoria and the East Coast. But a hybrid is being trialled, and sounds like there's some pretty big fuel savings being achieved.
It is, Joel, and I guess from Scania's perspective, we're really excited about the product. We have had huge operator interest in hybrid vehicles. Obviously, the battery electric vehicles are going to be something for the future, but the diesel electric hybrid, we feel, is a product that allows for today's technicians, the guys in the workshop that will be maintaining these vehicles for the next 20 to 25 years, become familiar with the high voltage, I guess, that comes along with the battery package before they jump straight into the battery electric vehicle. So a diesel engine that the technicians are familiar with, and I guess undertaking that journey to understand what they need to do differently to manage those 400 to 600 volt systems that battery electric vehicles will be using in the future.
Yeah, I mean, ideal application for electric, isn't it? But as you say, it's going to take a little while for people to get used to the very different mechanical systems. But I suppose also just having, no matter who the manufacturer is, just having the confidence to sort of let go of the rope and jump straight into a fully electric bus. It is a big change, but at least that hybrid technology is that bridging technology. And what sort of fuel savings do you think, ballpark of what you might get if you were running the hybrid?
So we have hybrids working in Madrid. There's 80 Scania hybrids, let's call them Generation 1 vehicles, working in Madrid with one of the world's largest operators, ADO Avanza, and they're seeing fuel savings between 23 to 25%. So it's a huge fuel saving, again, when you're considering the operational life of the vehicle from 20 to 25 years. So, you know, if you calculate that fuel saving out over the 25-year lifespan, it's enormous.
And what can we expect in terms of the local trial? Will you be handing it over to an operator? Will you be doing it in-house? How will the trials work on the hybrid?
So basically, we'll be nominating some bodybuilders to work with us to develop the hybrid vehicle into a fully built bus. One of the advantages of the Scania Hybrid is that it doesn't use any componentry in the driveline that we don't already have as tried and trusted components in our current series. So with the hybrid chassis, it is a designated 320 horsepower Euro 6 engine. We've got, by the end of this year, we'll have nearly 200 Euro 6 chassis in the market in Australia. So it's that engine that's powering the unit. We'll have our OptiCruise gearbox, which is our automated manual gearbox. That is a component. So we introduced the electric motor in between the engine and the gearbox to obviously drive the vehicle when it converts to fully battery-powered or silent drive, as we call it.
So, for example, situations where I'm a Sydney sider. I think to myself, well, the buses come down the expressway across the Harbour Bridge and then into the CBD, and maybe when you're crossing the bridge, it switches over to electric and you tour down through the Sydney CBD on electric. Do you think that would sort of be what we would be looking at?
Absolutely. One of the components of the project will be the ability of the vehicle to have some geofencing via our fleet management system. So that's obviously something that we're looking to develop as the trial goes on. But that's exactly the scenario you drive. One of the, I guess, you know, obvious parts of the heavy transport industry is the exhaust and emissions. So by utilising Euro 6, which is the lowest emission engine possibly available in the world at the moment, Euro 6 emissions, combined with the hybrid drive to operate on battery electric power, we end up with a vehicle that has zero tailpipe emissions. So what we're hoping is that we can do the same scenario as you described in Sydney. In Adelaide, you can come down to the Adelaide Hills on diesel power, come in, and then we hit across, say, North Terrace, then we can go into electric drive there. And obviously for the journey back out of town where you need the power of a 320 horsepower engine, that's at your fingertips. So in terms of the Scania Hybrid, you're getting the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I mean, it really does sound ideal. And if you can get those fuel savings, even conservatively of 20%, I mean, why wouldn't you? Because there's no penalty. You're not taking any fewer passengers or there's no, I don't really see any downside to it.
That's exactly right, Joel. And when we talk about fuel savings, one of the things we should be talking more about is carbon footprint. If you look at a 20% reduction in fuel savings, then you're also getting a 20% reduction in the amount of carbon that's going in the atmosphere. So our slogan of the world's most sustainable vehicle, and we are the leaders in sustainable transport, when we're looking at that, then we're really practicing what we preach in that when we're talking about sustainability, taking the carbon out of the atmosphere and reducing the amount of fuel consumed, you know, that's a huge tick for Scania.
We hear the term urbanisation a lot in the truck and bus space, especially around to refuse trucks. But no more important industry than buses. I mean, it's an exciting time for the bus industry, isn't it? I mean, it's just such a vital cog in civilisation.
Absolutely, Joel. And it really is. You know, if we take our minds back to what a typical bus, you know, would represent. If you asked any kid 10 years ago to draw a picture of a bus, I guarantee they'd draw a squiggly line of diesel smoke coming out the back. And as we move to closer to Euro 6 legislation, we're looking at technologies like the diesel hybrid and fully battery electric vehicles. Those sort of things, you know, are going to be distant memories in the past because we're getting vehicles now where, you know, in actual fact, in Euro 6, the emissions coming out of a Euro 6 are often cleaner than the air in Beijing. So, you know, Australia's really sort of leading at the forefront when it's coming to getting closer, I guess, in the Southern Hemisphere to that Euro 6 legislation and really, you know, kicking in with the sustainability side of things and understanding what it is the clients are looking for and what people are looking for their transport providers.